We're going to continue our discussion on kindness. Today's deals with spiritual weaponry. And what I like to do is just go over a little bit to bring our visitors together in understanding where we're at. Galatians, we started off in Galatians 5, talking about the fruit, and how I broke it down was the first three fruits is Godwort, the next three fruits are manwort, and the last three fruits is selfwort to us. So kindness falls into that realm of serving one another in a capacity. We also understood that the definition of it is a willful act of charity to meet needs to those who are less fortunate in us. And we went last week and talked about how that's demonstrated through hospitality and through giving. And then there was four things. There's actually more, but there's four basic things that we should always look at when we're either going to serve in hospitality, and hospitality isn't just an event for that day. Hospitality deals with a time frame. And so when we have someone in our homes, we have to agree on a time frame, and we have to also see if we have the emotional, the spiritual, and the financial equity in order to persevere and take on this responsibility of people living in our homes, which is imperative, because Satan would like us no more than to use our emotions to do things that we're not properly equipped with to do. And that's happened time and time again. Reason is because either one or more of those ingredients is that are needed to be assessed, we don't have. And God may only be saying to us that, you know what, you can help meet this need, but someone else is actually going to take that responsibility on. So as we flow in kindness, that kindness works in two ways. It works towards the host, and it also works to those who are being served. Today, I like to ask you, what comes to mind when you hear the question of spiritual warfare? What image comes to your mind? Does an image of a group of people coming together on their knees, seeking the will of God as intercessors, seeking His will to do His will, does that come to mind? Or spiritual warfare, is it, I really struggle in my prayer closet. You know, that I really am not sure how to pray or what I should be praying and all. Both are realities in our lives. Or does spiritual warfare consist of, we have a prayer line up here and the pastor or the preacher or whoever's in there is taking authority, casting out sickness and disease and demons. You know, really taking authority? Or is it, you know, I struggle with even just trying to share in a connection group. You know, will they listen to what I have to say? Both, again, is spiritual warfare, and it's reality. Or do you have images of the evangelist, Billy Graham or Louis Plow, calling the masses together to evangelize the lost and invite them in there? And we struggle by just sharing with our neighbor or inviting our neighbors to come to a service or an event in a church. The reality of it is most of us struggle in the latter part of those examples, not the former. We don't struggle in the former because we can't really identify ourselves with that, because the warfare that we're fighting is a reality of our lives here, now, not what is happening in the throngs of life. We can't identify because we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, we don't have the courage to move forward. We don't feel we have even the anointing to carry this on. And what we do is we set these individuals up as our spiritual special forces, and it's their job to do it. Thereby, we continue to struggle in our own spiritual warfare in the privacy of our own lives. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, please. Second Corinthians 10, we'll start at verse 3 and read through verse 5. Are we there? Paul's writing and he says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." All of us that I can tell are born again believers in this room. And all of us have received the fullness of the Godhead. He hasn't given us just a measure. He's given us everything that He is. And He dwells within us. But how many of us realize that He has given us the most powerful spiritual weapon in order to expand His kingdom? And if we understand that He has, what is that weapon? Does anybody know? It's love. It's the greatest weapon that He's given to us is love. Now, you may say, well, how is that a weapon? Just look around. Where is love being exuded? And where is the love of God being utilized? We see this nation, which proclaims itself to be a godly nation, burning. Anarchy is running wild in the street. Disrespect is the cycle that we're in right now. What has happened? We've had the breakdown of the family unit. We're having now the breakdown of civil authority. And this is all done at the behest of the spirit of the Antichrist, because we understand that the spirit of Antichrist and his servant, the Antichrist, who is going to be the embodiment of Satan, has to come to power. Love is the most powerful thing that God has given to us. And part of that reality is kindness. Kindness is a spiritual fruit, yes, but it is so much more. When we use hospitality, that is extending the fruit of kindness. When we're giving to others that we see their needs, it is the extension of love through giving, which is kindness. We see a need, we meet a need. But what happens is most people don't either recognize the urgings or the promptings of the Holy Spirit to become involved, or they ignore totally what God is saying to them to get involved. And we can see this readily through the church. There is much. When I speak of the church, I don't speak of streams. I speak of the church worldwide. That the church is doing certain things, but it's doing it through a a spirit of works, not necessarily generated through love. I remember one time we had sent a team to Haiti, and one of the team members was there, and it was shortly after the earthquake. Kids were running around barefooted, and one of the ladies, her name's Dee Dee, had bought a pair of shoes because her heart was poured out for this one child who didn't have shoes and was being picked on because the other kids had sandals. And she was moved by that to buy this child a pair of shoes, very inexpensive. I think it was like $2 or whatever. She listened to what the Holy Spirit was saying in order to meet a need. And that's what we should do. We should respond. God has made our ladies very intuitive and filled their hearts with tremendous mercy and compassion for people. Those of us that are married, guys, we need to be sensitive to that. We need to guide in the proper usage of this kindness, because not all the time is God speaking that we should meet a need. He may only be making us aware of a need to pray for someone to meet that need. And this comes to a place where either we guys don't understand, we're not properly equipped to cover our wives in this, or we have an indifference, whatever, you know. We're to work as a team. I've never seen anybody in my lifetime stand up and fight a battle without assistance. And that's what we have to understand, is this warfare is for the church. According to Mark 16, Jesus commissioned the church. He didn't just commission a portion of the church. He didn't commission just the ladies and exempt the kids and the men. He's commissioned the church. All of us have a job to do. The problem is we feel like that's for somebody else. As I said, you know, this elitist mindset of, you know, the special forces of spiritual warfare is only for those who God has called. Has God called you? Yeah, He's called you. Do you struggle? Because behind the scenes, these men and women who are up front, they struggle with the same things as you and I struggle with, believe it or not. They've just responded to what God has called into their lives. And it takes a little bit of time, it takes effort, but He has called the church. That means all men, all women, and even all children are to serve. But not all of us are prayer warriors. Not all of us are pastors. Not all of us are great evangelists. But we are called. And all of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And all of us have the Holy Spirit developing fruit in us. And as I said, kindness is a fruit that needs to be nurtured and cared for properly to meet needs of those less fortunate. Kindness, when we display kindness and we do acts of kindness for people, it is actually seed that is being planted into their lives, whether they understand it or not. We're kindly to people that we know, that we associate with, because we're comfortable, right? It's easy for me to be kind to Irene, to display kindness. She's my wife. I love her, and I would sacrifice my life for her. But what about a stranger? What about a person who inwardly their heart is crying out to God, and God hears their cry and says, go. I need you to go and meet a need. Whether it was, you know, to get them a meal, clothe them, provide a bath for them, visit them, they're sick, pray with them. That those are acts of kindness that takes us out of our comfort zone when we respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And God is in this. God wants His love to be exuded through these acts of kindness, because as it says in Ephesians 4, every one of us are doing their share to meet these needs, to build up the body. And that building up brings life. It's what we're supposed to do. God expects us to do this. But there is a problem in the church. And it has to do with our mindset. We don't believe that acts of kindness are actually weapons of warfare. First of all, that's why we don't do it. Somebody else will do it. We see that example of the Jew who was beaten up and thrown to the side, and the Pharisee walks over and says, I got someplace to go, and moves on. Right? We see the Sadducee come in, look at that, and he walks to the other side and says, you know what? I got to be someplace. But it was the Samaritan that came in, saw this person who was beaten up, put him on his donkey, took him to a place where he would get healed, and then said to the innkeeper, whatever else you need, put it on my tab, I'll come back and repay you. That's what Jesus did to us. We were laying in that ditch. He stopped, He picked us up, He took us to a place, a church. The church loves them, heals them, gets them going. And anything more, God will repay. It's no different than what He talked about us, you know, supplying of food or clothing or visiting Him in jail or whatever. We're not going to lose our reward. But this society today says, well, if I do this, I need to be gratified now. That's short-term vision. It's selfish, it's self-centered, and needs to be nailed to the cross. You see, in order for kindness, true kindness, biblical kindness to exude from our hearts, it requires our death, because it's a sacrifice to serve somebody else who are less fortunate than ourselves. It doesn't matter the perceptions of what our brothers and sisters think. What matters is our obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we discount the promptings in our heart and we procrastinate, our hearts become cold. When our hearts become cold, we can no longer hear the voice of the Lord. He says, my sheep hear my voice and follow after no other. So we're in danger of not hearing Him. The other thing is, our hearts become callous to the needs of others. We came into this world with nothing. We're going to take nothing out of this world. Everything has to be used for kingdom expansion. And that means that what I have, I share. Because God gave it to me. I have to learn to be selfless, not selfish, and how to release this kindness to others properly. And the only way I know to do that is I go to the cross, I die, and I allow His love to come out of me. I want my heart to be soft and tender so that when He shows me something, I can say, "Yes, Lord, how do you want this done? Well, go over here and talk to this one. Do this over here. Put this together and you can meet a need." Or He may say to me, "You know, talk to this one over here and say that God has told me this is what you need to do." As a word of confirmation to the individual who was questioning, is this really from God? Because we don't know the struggles that are going on within our hearts. And so what we do is we ignore it. And we can see our world is in chaos because we have not been obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The charge that God gives to the church is to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils. You know, you'll speak in other tongues, whole nine yards. But basically what He's saying is, go out and change one life. Make a difference. Make your life count for something in somebody's life. One life. He made a difference in my life. And look what He's doing. How much more, if I was more intuitive, if I was more obedient, how much more could God use me to make a difference in somebody else's life? We understand that time's running out. Anybody who reads Revelation or Daniel or any of the prophets understands that we're past the 11th hour. We're almost coming to where the clock strikes 12. When Jesus returns. And what has crept into the church is a mindset that I think all of us can relate to. I call it the mindset of the Wizard of Oz. All of us have seen the Wizard of Oz, have we not? But this mindset has permeated into the church. Let me give you an example. We know Dorothy, right? It's no place like home. No place like home. And we're kicking our heels and hoping Jesus comes to take us home. But Dorothy said something. She made a quote. She says, "I'm not strong enough to make it to the city." Many of us conduct our lives in such a way that we believe the labels that the world puts on us. And we accept the limitations as if they know better than God. But we readily accept that commentary as true. And yet we struggle to take His word for face value. See, He's producing fruit for others to partake, but what is happening, the fruit is dying on the vine. Why? Because we're not being kindly to people. We're not doing kind acts. We can't even get it right amongst ourselves. How are we going to do it to the people who really need it? John 13:35 says, "They'll know you by the love you have one another." They're going to know you by how kindly you are to each other. They're going to know you by the acts of kindness we do to each other and to them. You see, God died for them too. He died for the whole world. And so what happens is we believe this lie. We begin to start living life constricted. And we have a stunted faith in God. Because we agree with the limitations of the world. I've said to an individual many times, I said, you need to stop quoting what the world says about you and start agreeing with God. What God says about you. What God says. There are no spiritual elites in God's family. Because everybody in His eyes is elite. I'm no better than you, and Louis Plow is no better than Pastor Mike. You know, he's just doing his job. And he displays kindness. That Satan does not want us to do. He will try his darndest to get us fixated on ourselves, our problems. Well, you know, if they knew what struggles I'm going through, they wouldn't ask. The Dorothy syndrome. We need to stop focusing on our weaknesses. As Paul says, when I am weak, I am then strong. How is he strong? He's strong in the power and might of God. He agrees with God and then serves God because he understands how limitless God is. So he didn't suffer from a Dorothy syndrome. Some of us do. Then there's the scarecrow. I'm not smart enough. I need a brain. You've heard me say that what God is doing, I'm not smart enough to figure this stuff out. Every time I try to figure it out, my head goes tilt and I stop. I cannot comprehend the things that God wants. He can show me. I can try to understand. But I'm not smart enough. But I am smart enough to be obedient to Him. And that's all I need to be. I need to be smart enough to hear His voice and instantaneously respond to do what it is He says to do. Whether it's an act of kindness, a display of love, it's you know, giving money to someone, buying food for someone, providing housing or clothes or whatever it is, I have learned in my short walk with Jesus Christ that obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't need to understand everything. I don't need to place a demand on God to show me everything that's coming before I make a move. I'm sorry, that's not faith. Faith is stepping out, believing that God's got me, He'll uphold me as I move forward in life. I don't need to know. But I need to know one thing. And that is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And He wants me to plant the seed of kindness. You see, true faith comes from within. It's not from the activities that are going on. If you want healing, look within. Jesus Christ is in there. And you just start speaking His word and life comes. It's the way it happens. Everything that we have is in Jesus Christ. Where's Jesus Christ? He's in me. Well then, I need to get Jesus Christ out so that things can happen. How many of us are still basking over the festival? It was a great thing. And you know what? I'm really proud of Streams and the participation that came. But that was a year in planning. That didn't just happen. It took a year. It took a year pulling the vision out of my head. It took a year putting it down. It took a year of which We had people come and say, we want to help you. We see what God's doing. We want to be a part of this. And we embraced them, and they helped. And those who I thought were going to help were nowhere to be found. That's okay. It's okay. But we have to understand that we're moving by faith. As long as we're moving, God can do something. If we stop, or we're stuck in the mud, or we want explanations for everything, God's not going to do anything. You know, we have to be moving. His kingdom is moving. His kingdom is aggressive. His kingdom is what it's all about. The Tin Man. I need a heart. And I'm going to see the wizard for a heart. How many of us are all born again? God gave us a new heart. You don't need another heart. He gave us His heart. Okay? You can settle that. We can eliminate the Tin Man effect right now. What we need to do is become sensitive. Father, what's on your heart? What do you desire to do, and how do you want to use me? And what we're referencing is these acts of kindness. Every seed that we put, being kind to a person, saying good morning, is an act of kindness. How many people have we come across and we've said good morning, and they had this scowl on their face, like, what, are you crazy? You're addressing me? You know? And all we said was good morning. You know, people are so torqued today because of the stress and strain of what is happening, that we've kind of forgotten how to be nice to each other. Really, we have. Because we're letting the world dictate what's going on with us, when it should be the other way around. I'm not sensitive enough. Well, you may be a guy. God didn't make guys sensitive. Irene will tell you, I'm not sensitive. I'm doing better. But one of the things I rely on is that, you know, spiritual warfare is a team event. I depend on hearing what God is saying to her, and that when she says, look, you know, so-and-so needs this. I said, okay, let me ask God if that's what He wants us to do. Or does He want to enlist others? And I go and I seek God, and He comes back, and I inform her what He said. And most of the time, He wants me to cover her. We're to bear the burdens. We're to release the blessings. As long as our basic needs are met, housing, clothes, food, you know, why not? But we come up with all kind of excuses not to. And we're falling into the hands of the enemy when we just don't brush something on somebody and say, hey, you know, God is saying this to me. What do you think? Well, the best thing is, it's not what I think. I'll go seek God and find out what's going on. That's what we should do. You see, it's not a matter of doing things out of another person's opinion. It's doing what God says to do. And when we have a witness of two or more, then we should be doing it. If we are not in agreement, we should be waiting on the Holy Spirit, because it may be timing. It may be not enough people are getting involved in what God wants to do. It may not be us. It may be us just to house and pray this thing through, that somebody else is receiving it. And I've shared about this young lady who sought me out during the festival. She's got one end of the vision, I've got the other end of the vision, and now we're going to collaborate to bring the vision together. but we're seeking God. We're not going to be impetuous because we want God to do this thing. And that's, you know, God wants us to display this kindness, this bouquet, this aroma. And our ladies do a wonderful job. Guys, we got to get with the program. We've got to trust that they hear from God too, but we also need to understand we have a responsibility before God to cover them, to guide this fruit, and to nurture this fruit to be utilized properly. Amen? We could be like the lion. I'm afraid. I need courage. And then he would chomp, you know. I haven't seen the new modern one. I'm talking about the 1933 with Julie Garland in there. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." God's spirit dwells richly in us. And as I've tried to illustrate how important it is for us to exude kindness, Jesus is very courageous. And Jesus is a warrior. And that spirit dwells in us. We have to fight the enemy and nail the flesh's desires to the cross each and every day. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. The flesh doesn't want to do what the Spirit wants to do. Check out Romans 7 and 8. Those things that I want to do, I don't do, but the things I don't want to do, I do do. Who is going to deliver me from this wicked flesh? Praise God, it be Jesus Christ, my Savior. That warfare is real. It's not about me. It's about letting Christ out of this tomb we call our bodies. I was sharing with Holly this morning a little bit about what God has been saying to me, because we have 5 minutes or so to converse before we go into prayer. And I said, you know, God has shown me something that's really neat for me. It's a revelation for me. Jesus said, "My Father's ever working." Okay. "And I do what He shows me to do, and then I do it." Jesus is ever working. And He shows us what to do, but we don't work. There's kind of like a disconnect in that. And this act of kindness is really a reflection of our Father who art in heaven. And He's trying to get His children. Remember, Romans is telling us that the world is waiting for the sons and daughters to arise. How is the sons and daughters going to arise if we don't exude the kindness of God through our lives to others who are still in darkness and crying out to Him? For me, I want God to use me. I want God to continue to use my life in such a way that I speak life into people's lives, to exude kindness to them, to love them in spite of all the nasty stuff that comes on, because they truly don't understand. Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They don't understand what we're doing here." But we're getting a picture of it. We're getting to understand that it's more than just ourselves, our wants, our desires. The enemy would constantly say that, you know what, you're not a superhero. God says you are. You are, because we're supernatural people. The flesh isn't who we are. It's just the exterior of how we can communicate and function in this physical world. Our spirits are going to live forever, so why do we spend an inordinate amount of time trying to take care of our flesh instead of killing it and its desires on the cross? And allowing kindness to come out, allowing love to flow, allowing a spirit of gentleness to exude our lives. And what happens is when we procrastinate, vision becomes cloudy. Our hearts become callous. And we don't even know it. We don't even recognize it. Because we've put conditions on God to use us. But He didn't put any conditions on us when He loved us. Because His love is unconditional. He's going to love us no matter what. He loves us even yet while we were dead in trespasses and sin. And He displayed His kindness towards us to draw us to Him. And that's really what we're doing when we display kindness. We are building a bridge to those who are in darkness. Not just reaching into the darkness, but building a bridge to go into that darkness to bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what He's called the church to do. Yeah, you know, to help our brothers and sisters. You know, the earthquake victims in Nepal. These are all real things to meet it. But what about the neighbor across the street? What about a fellow compatriot in our employment? What about members of our own family? We can be kindly and do acts of kindness. You see, in order to allow kindness to come out, it starts in our heart. It re-educates our brain. And then it motivates our flesh to glorify the Father. I had an individual this week bless me with their kindness. They had purchased one of my favorite candies, peanut M&Ms. And I appreciate that. They were thinking of me, to be a blessing to me. And that's great, because this person exhibits kindness as best as they can. And that's all God's asking us. Just exhibit this kindness. Don't get caught up in their stuff, but exhibit Him through kindness. And of course, the last character is the wizard. And we meet the wizard, and he's behind a curtain, he's pushing every button, and he's doing every lever, he's trying to make the whole city shake, and all the smoke and bells and whistles are going off. And what we say is, I can help behind the scenes, but don't put me out front. Don't you know that's your Father's desire to show you off? You are His trophy. And He says, check my kid out. That's what He did with Job. Put him out there. See what my son will do. See what my daughter will do. You see, we've got to stop hiding behind the wall. We've got to stop pulling every bell and whistle and hope that something happens out there. Let's pull the curtain and let them see us. We're just like them. We're human. We are. They want to be able to be touched by God. An act of kindness is God touching them through us. Because you see, we're like Him. And that's what He's striving for us to do. We get the chance. We get to do this for Dad. We get the opportunity to reveal Jesus Christ to them. And say, He hears and He cares for you, and this is what He has done for you. Come and be a part of His family. When we stop trying to be one of these characters in The Wizard of Oz, I really believe we're on to something. I really believe we can stop with all the slogans. We can stop with all the excuses. Because it sets us free to be who He's created us to be. You are unique. You are special to God. There is nothing that your Father will not do for you or do to you. Because you see, it's His plan, not ours. And when we enlist ourselves and say, "Yes, Lord, be my Savior," He's also our Lord. I want to exhort you that if you're struggling in areas of being kind, especially to people who are unkindly back to us, take it to the cross. Because it's not about you, it's about Him. Jesus said, if they reject you, that not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. You see, you may be the only Jesus Christ that they see. Let's make it count for His glory. Huh? Amen? Father, we just come before You, and the battle's not ours. The battle is Yours, Lord. Help us, Father, to surrender and die on a cross to our fleshly desires, our fleshly wants. And help us, Father, to be in obedience to You and to Your will. Help us to count the cost, that it's going to cost us everything that we are and everything that we have, and that we hold nothing in reserve, God. Let us shout unto the heavens that we have run a good race, that we have fought the good fight, and now it's time to go and receive our reward. Father, I pray for those who struggle in these areas, who struggle in just believing what You say is true, God. Help them to step out in faith with all confidence that You are not like us, but You're making us become more like You. That You have given us Your Spirit. You have given us Your Son. You have given us Your plan. May we give back to You all praise and glory and honor. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.